Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
I have to admit to you that in preparation for today, I went back because I preached the last two Father's Days here in this church. And gentlemen, I was awfully nice to you. And obviously you got the memo because you're not here today. But today, gentlemen, I'm going to warn you, you better buckle up. We read this morning in Psalm 112 about what a man is to be in the eyes of God, and that is godly. You know, most of us have been exposed to maybe that television show, you've heard of it, Men Behaving Badly. But I wonder how many of us have been exposed to the Bible's portrayal of men behaving godly. Would you agree with me that the world needs today is not more men behaving badly, but what the world needs is men behaving godly? That's exactly what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. Proverbs 26 says this, and it asks a very sobering question here. But a faithful man who can find. If there ever was a day when our world needed faithful men, today is that day. Now, today's message is a message directed specifically towards our men. And I'm sorry to exclude you ladies this morning, but I figured none of you would mind if I spent one Sunday trying to help your husband, your boyfriend, your father, your brother, your son, and your pastor to shape up. Now, I may need your help today, ladies, because as I try to work on these men a little bit, you may have to take notes for them. Most of them can't take notes or won't take notes, so you're going to have to do it for them, all right? Can you do that for us? Listen, men. The men of America need a wake-up call. Our world needs us today more than ever. Our world needs us to be godly men. Your wives need you to be godly men. Your church needs you to be godly men. Your children need you to be godly men. Your business needs you to be a godly man. And your community and your nation needs you to be a godly man. What the world really needs is men behaving godly. Amen? Now, I'm convinced if our families are going to survive in the 21st century, they will need strong male leadership to do so. If families are to survive in the 21st century, they need to be led by those godly husbands and fathers. If families are going to survive, we're going to have to stop behaving badly, men. We need to start behaving godly. In previous times, we've heard that the family is the basic building block of all social structures. As the family goes, so goes all of society. But let me add this statement to that, because it's incomplete. Because not only does it need to say that, it also needs to say, as men go, so goes the family. And I'm telling you, men, the family keys off the leadership of men. And when men are fulfilling their God-given assignment as spiritual leaders in their homes, the home is stable. It's secure. It's satisfying. However, when families crumble and fall apart, it is most often the result of men failing in their God-given roles of spiritual leadership. When men fail, the home falls apart and all of society reaps the benefits of your repercussions. Let me repeat that again. Not only does your home fail, homes around you fail as well, because they're looking for us men to step up and take that leadership role. And if we don't do that, who do we expect to do it? The women? They're great leaders. but it's not what God has called us to do. We are to lead. We are to lead by example. That doesn't mean that women can't lead and they don't lead by example, because they do. They got us in line for the most part, right? Sure, they can lead. Let me point out one of the many passages that speak directly to the issue of men behaving godly. Like I said, open your Bibles to Psalm 112. We read this morning, and we even read it last week. But this is also the passage of Scripture that was written by a man for a man. Notice David is the author of this psalm. David was a man's man. Remember, he was the brave boy who killed Goliath and cut off his head. He was a true warrior. But David was a family man. He had the responsibilities of a wife and children. In fact, this is the one area of David's life where he produced his greatest failures. Like most men, David allowed other things to distract him. It took away from the priority that he should have been given to his family. David was a businessman, a man with great responsibility. He was one of the most successful kings of all history. He was a builder and he was an administrator. David was a spiritual man. He was a man after God's own heart. David was a leader in the temple worship. He wrote psalms and hymns of praise. He even danced before the Lord. David could relate to every man in this room today. He experienced everything you experience as a man, and he usually excelled in everything he did. David can relate to us most of the time, and most of us can relate to him. But I want you to notice and listen to what David actually says about men behaving godly. Every day, 299,000 men, every day, become a first-time father. We become fathers without any training or instructions on how to be a father. If men would behave godly, it would change the world. Psalm 112 tells us exactly where the whole process has to begin. Look closely again at verse 1. And you'll notice there, it gets right to the root of the problem for most of us men. Because too many men do not have a healthy fear of God. Too many men don't find great delight in his commands. When a man truly fears God and loves God's word, that man is on his way to true godliness. His life is going to be productive and successful. Just look at some of the promises associated with a man who fears God and finds great delight in his commands. And you just note this here. 112 verse 2, there is a promise concerning his children. Verses 3 and 4, there is a promise concerning his character. Four times in four verses, the Bible mentions the man's righteous character. There is a promise concerning his conduct, verse 5. Verses 6 and 8, concerning his confidence. Verse 9, promise of concerning to his charity. And then there's a promise concerning his commendation in verse 6. How many of you men would like to be this kind of man? The place to begin is also verse 1. But be a man who fears God and finds great delight in his commands. Now this passage sounds familiar to another passage that expresses the benefits and advantages of men behaving godly. By fearing God and loving God's word. Psalm 1, 1-3, you can make note of it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I am telling you, this is the kind of man the world needs. This is the kind of man your wife needs. This is the kind of man your children need. And this is the kind of man this church needs. And to be quite honest, this is the kind of man that is hard to find today, even in the church. Unfortunately, there are more men behaving badly than there are behaving godly. And today I want to challenge you and challenge our men to these two specific areas that I believe will help all of us become the Psalm 112 man. Listen carefully as we talk about men behaving godly, and specifically, be the kind of man that will provide godly leadership to your wives and your children. First, we must acknowledge the power of your influence as a man. And I want to speak specifically to you men who are husbands and or fathers. I want you to realize the tremendous power of your influence on your marriage and on your children. As a husband, you have a powerful influence upon your wife. I'm telling you, fellas, your wife's happiness and emotional security in life rests almost entirely upon you. Feeling the pressure yet? I do. I believe this is exactly what the Bible means when it says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church of his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, being the head of your wife does not mean you are her boss or her taskmaker. It does not mean you have the right to rule over her like a tyrant. I believe God built your wife to be a responder. And when you love her in the same way Christ loves the church, she will be secure, she will be satisfied, and she will be happy. Dr. Richard Halverson, the chaplain of the United States Senate for many years, said it is the way after 69 years of life and 42 years of marriage. He says this: "It is my deep, settled conviction that 100% of the responsibility for the sustenance of the marriage relationship belongs to the husband. The scriptures tell us that as husbands, we need to model ourselves after Jesus Christ, who gave himself up in every way in order to present his bride to himself without blemish or stain or spot or wrinkle." You see, because as a father, you have a powerful influence on your children as well. Psalm 112, 1 and 2 speaks of that. Dads, I want you to realize what a tremendous impact you can have on your children. In spite of what the world, television, or any of those sources of media will tell you, I'm telling you that your children need you desperately. And it doesn't matter if you're a new father, an old father, a father who has lost children, a father who has lost his own father. It does not change the role for us. We must continue to lead. We must continue to be godly. We must continue to search the scriptures. This is not a one and done deal for us. As men, we need to take on the responsibility that God has bestowed upon us. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to be good fathers. We want to be good dads. We want to be a good influence on others because they look to us for that leadership. And those of you who aren't fathers yet or planning to be, we need to be there for them so that they know how to do it. I didn't have that luxury when I grew up. My father left the family when I was 6 years old. My mother passed away when I was 12. But that did not give me an excuse not to seek out individuals who could help me in that realm. And more importantly, to seek out our Lord to guide me in that. I think too often we make excuses for bad fathers. They didn't have a good childhood. They didn't have a dad that helped them. Gentlemen, we need to stop making excuses and understand that there is an answer. There is a cure for this ungodliness of men. And that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, who has given us that ability, whether we know it or not. But if we ask for it, he will give it. Let me give you a couple examples here. Fatherless daughters are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. Fatherless daughters are 111% more likely to have children as teenagers. Fatherless daughters are 164% more likely to have an out-of-wedlock birth. Fatherless daughters have a 92% higher divorce rate than girls raised with dads in the home. Fatherless sons are 35% more likely to experience marital failure. Fatherless sons are 300% more likely to become incarcerated in state juvenile institutions. The fatherless make up 70% of all juveniles in state institutions. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of high school. Fatherless children have only half the chance of being high achievers. According to the National Association of Elementary School Principals, 33% of children from two-parent families become high achievers, while only 17% of children from single-parent homes become high achievers. Fatherless children are 50% more likely to have learning disabilities. And I could go on and on. But from relationships, education, to mental instability, to crime, one factor looms the most significant in these, and it contributes the most to it. It is a home without a dad. Daniel Amnius wrote in The Father Factor, investigators such as Lauren Mosher of the National Institute for Mental Health, Dr. Walter Mischel, and others have found from the cross-cultural studies they conducted that poverty is not as important a factor in juvenile delinquency as it is the absence of a competent, loving father. That's scary. Listen, dads, we better be behaving godly, or you're not only going to wreck your own life, you're going to wreck the lives of your children. Your children need you more than you could possibly realize. Pastor David T. Moore, he says this in his book about the five lies. The heart of every little boy and girl lies within a father's hands. Every broken promise and abusive word tears a hole that may never be mended. Maybe this is why the Bible gives such strong and explicit instructions to dads and their responsibilities towards their children. Psalm 127, 3-5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth and chasteneth him betimes. You know, I need to stop for a second. Because this is speaking to me. I need to be a good dad. I need to be a good father. But it is impossible for me to do that without the help of the Lord. We need to realize that. It's all laid out for us. And we have a great opportunity to do that starting today, because we don't know how much time we really have. And if you're an individual sitting there and you're wishing that you were that one Psalm 112 man right now, here's the opportunity to start. And gentlemen, we may not fit the quota on all of this, but that's where the Lord steps in. We may not understand it. We may not always totally agree with it. But in order for fatherhood to work, we have to humble ourselves. And we have to understand that God is going to fill in those gaps where we fail, where we don't get it right. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We need to read the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, and notice how often it makes reference to children following the same paths taken by their fathers, whether it be for evil or it be for good. Some followed the righteous example of godly fathers. 2 Chronicles 17:3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not into Balaam. David gave him a good example. And so what did the children do? They grew up to be just like their dads. What a legacy as men we can leave than to see our children grow up to be like us, especially when we're being godly men. The second point I want you to ponder on this morning is we need to acknowledge not only the power of the influence on our wives and our children, because it's very, very important, but we also need to avoid the pitfalls of our masculinity. There are some hazards that come along with being a male, and we know this. The way we are built as the fallen sons of Adam can work against us. We do not have a natural bent towards godliness. In fact, our natural bent is towards sinfulness and selfishness. And men have their own unique brand of sinfulness and selfishness. So let me tell you about some common mistakes and pitfalls that we have to avoid when it comes to our families. Let me give you six of them that come with being with a man and will be reflected in our family life. First, guys, we are arrogant. We tend to be arrogant. Someone has said it this way: men are 90% ego wrapped in skin. It's true. We men have our own unique version of pride and arrogance. We have this ego-driven John Wayne mentality, so to speak. Most men think they are Rambo, John Wayne, Chuck Norris, and Albert Einstein all wrapped into one person. Ladies, would you agree that if you could buy a man for what he is worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, that you'd make a profit? Our pride is what drives most of the other common failures and mistakes we make as husbands and fathers. Secondly, we are autocratic husbands and fathers. because most men have such a big ego. They really like to act like the big boss when they're at home, do we not? We misinterpret the passages of Scripture that talk of the husband being the head of the wife. We are not their boss. And so we act like a dictatorial tyrant because we can. Not thinking about what we should do or what God wants us to do. Most men forget to read the passage closely in its context in Ephesians 5. It also says that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Fellas, if we're autocratic, dictatorial, demanding, and controlling in our home, we are headed for serious trouble. Our children will rebel, and our wives will be driven away from us. Thirdly, we are sometimes absentee husbands and fathers. The worst thing a man can do is walk out on his family. It is the most heinous of all crimes a man can commit. Have you noticed how bad men are running in our culture? Over 15 million kids are growing up in homes without a father figure. 70% of men in prison grew up without a father. Doesn't just happen with our children. It happens to us too. It's a never-ending cycle that needs to be broken. Child psychologist Dr. David Elking writes, "We see more children who show symptoms of stress, headaches, stomach aches, low mood, and learning problems. And as they get older, many of them feel they've missed an important part of their life. They feel used and abused. My concern is if they don't feel cared about and they don't or they can't ever care about anything else, let alone themselves, we may be creating a large number of children who are emotional misfits. I don't want my children to grow up that way. But I also know that sometimes my actions dictate that, and that needs to change. And I know I'm not the only one standing up here willing to admit that. We need to be better fathers. And again, it's not something we can do alone. It's not something we can John Wayne our way through. We need help. We need help not only from the Lord. We need help from our peers. We need examples of good fathers to help us. Our kids need a dad that there is a day and night to help them with their homework. Take them on long walks. Get involved in their lives. Go to school programs and parent nights. Talk to when they are hurting and confused. Tuck them in bed every night. Pray with them and teach them the scriptures. Model their lives after. Wrestle with them on the floor. Have tickle fights with them. Show them how to relate to other people. Teach them respect and discipline. They need full-time dads, not a part-time dad. And by the way, it is possible to be sleeping at home every night and still be an absentee father. If you come home late every night, if your career keeps you from getting involved in your kids' lives, if you don't have time or take time to build your relationship with your wife and children, if you are too busy or too tired to connect with them emotionally, then you are guilty of being an absentee father, even though you still may be in the home. I know what I'm telling you is true because I have done that. There was a time in my life when I was not at home very much, and there's times where the church draws me away from family. And that's not always a bad thing. When it becomes a problem is when the focus goes to that and not to them. Some of you dads are wondering why your sons and daughters are acting out and showing signs of rebellion. Now, I'm not an expert, and I've got a few years yet before I get there. But let me say this. Could it be their rebellion and misbehavior is a desperate cry for some love and attention from Dad? If you're going to make changes, Dads, start today. Tomorrow may be too late. The fifth thing I would mention is how we as dads, husbands, fathers, we become aloof. Maybe the pitfall of masculinity we husbands and fathers most often fall into is the pitfall of aloofness. Men are not usually very relational by nature. They are more loners by nature. That is why most of us have to fight against our nature and let God make us something different than what we are by nature and by temperament. Most of us are aloof by nature. And what I mean by that is we're emotionally distant. We're cold. We're silent. Frigid. Rigid. Standoffish. Remote. Unaffectionate. Basically, we're withholding our affection and expression of love. Many of you might be like me. I did not know until recently that sometimes my wife and children might say things that are not pleasing about my behavior. And when you hear about that, it sinks you to a new low. And it's not because I'm being a bad father, but because I had an ungodly moment. But I'm lucky that the Lord loves me enough to help me with that change. I am lucky that I have a wife and children that help me with that change. I am thankful that I have a father that helps guide me in that. Because I'm not going to get this right on my own. I'm too stubborn. And many of you men can probably relate to that. But there is help. God wants to help us. Isn't that great? And not only will it help us, it'll help our wives. It'll help our children. And it'll help others as well. And finally, angry husbands and fathers. I'm telling you the truth today when I tell you that a lot of our wives are married to angry men. And a lot of our children are being raised by angry fathers. Most of us don't know what we're angry about. But we are angry and hostile in our personalities and temperaments. And our anger is often revealed through violent and sharp tempers, hostile, hateful words, bitter, negative attitudes. Need I go on? Do you want to know if you are angry on the inside, fellas? Just monitor yourself when you are driving. You know what I'm talking about, right? Are you always driving down the road yelling at other drivers, shaking your fists at them and showing your stupidity? Just monitor the way you react when things don't go according to your plans, or the way you respond to your wife and children when they don't behave exactly like you think they should. I'm telling you, some of you are going to lose your wife and children if you don't get over your anger. What does the Bible have to say about anger? A lot. A lot of men are behaving badly because they have allowed themselves to become angry men. But again, the Lord is there to pick us up. The Lord is there to help us. And the Lord has provided others in our lives to help us with that. Now, like I said, I think I was too easy on you guys for the last couple years. But in all reality, I was too easy on myself. And we all needed to hear this, not just the men today. This is for the women too, because you could help your husbands with this as well. That's why God provided a woman to straighten us John Wayne and Rambos out right? God is calling some of you men to make some serious change in your life today. I believe it. I can see it in your face. I hope you see it in mine. And I wonder if there are some men here today who are man enough to deal with the sin issues in your lives today and for once stop ignoring God. Stop refusing his help. Allow God to come in and heal what is in your heart, whether it be an anger issue, whether it be an emotional issue, a spiritual issue, an issue you may not even know about, and it's driving you to do these things that make you an ungodly man at times. Allow God to make you a godly man. And I wonder if there are some men here today who are willing to stand up and be real men. Be men behaving godly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's through your wisdom and love that you have made all things. As we celebrate Father's Day today, Lord, I want to bless those fathers who have taken upon themselves the responsibility of parenting. Bless those who have lost a spouse to death, separation, divorce, or who are parenting their children alone. Strengthen all dads by your love that they may become the loving, caring persons they are meant to be. Father, it is in your commandment that we should honor our fathers. Hear the prayers that we offer you for them. Grant them many years on earth and keep them in health of mind and body. Bless their word in all that they do. Give them back 100-fold whatever they have done for us. Inspire them with your love and help them to fulfill your holy law. And one day, may we be the comfort and support that, having enjoyed their affection here on earth, that we may have the joy of being with them forever in your home in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for being our Father, for caring for us, for showing the example of what it means to be a good dad and a good father. Lord, I pray that you break every one of us gentlemen in here today, that we become better, that we don't settle on just being a good dad. We want to be great dads and great fathers. That is my wish for them this morning. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the individuals who do lead by example, and we honor them, and in so we honor you. I ask now that as we go and celebrate our dads wherever we may go, I pray that you give us safety to our final destination, that we remember that being a father is not an easy job, but it is a commandment by you nonetheless, that we do the best we can, allowing you to fill in the gaps where we're insufficient. So as we leave here today, I pray that today is the day that those who want to be better fathers, that you will give them the ability to do so and the support around them to help them do so. And in all this, we will glorify your name. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day in the Lord.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.